God, we thank you for your presence today. God, we thank you that we are able to speak your name, and everything has to bow with your name. God, we thank you, God, for who you are to us today. God, we pray, God, I pray, God, as we go into the Word this morning, God, that we would continue to understand who you are. God, I pray for hearts to be ready to receive, for ears to be open this morning. We thank you, God, for everything we're doing. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, amen. Stagnant. So yeah. There's going to be some things, and we appreciate you walking with us this morning and getting through this.
This morning, my first message is, I was going to put it on the screen, but I think my screen guy, there he is, my screen guy's there. This morning, my first message that we're going to speak this morning is going to be titled, In the Beginning. And I started going through, trying to figure out what I was going to say and how I was going to say it and all of that. And I was like, okay, what are we going to do? What are we going to start with? And I just started praying, and I really felt like that this is what we were supposed to talk about this morning. In the beginning. And so in the beginning, we all know in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 through 2, it says this. And Jason, you're going to kill me because guess what I did? I read it out of the New King James this morning instead of the NLT. I told Jason when we were talking, we sat down and had coffee, and he asked me, what verse in the Bible do you read out? And I said, New King James. I read out every once in a while, but I always go to the NLT because it makes it easier to understand. You have to remember, I was a youth pastor forever. And so the fact that I was a youth pastor, it makes it easy to understand the NLT. And so I told him that, and he went ahead and said, okay, I'm going to give me an NLT Bible so I can understand where you're at. And then I go to New King James on the first service. Sorry, bro. So we're going to go to the New King James this morning in Genesis chapter 1, and it says this. It says, in the beginning, God, everybody say God. God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the water. And then I want to move over to the New Testament, and I want to move over to John chapter 1. And it says this, it says, in the beginning was the Word. Everybody say Word.
Word.
And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And he was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made.
Amen.
We're going to pray this morning. God, thank you for your Word. And I ask God that you help me to speak the Word this morning. God, that I would be hidden behind the cross, that you would have your Word spoke. God, that I wouldn't speak anything that's not me. I thank you. Anything that's not you, God, don't let it be me. Anything that's not you, God, don't let me say it. I thank you for everything we're going to do today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So I started to think about what it is we were going to speak this morning, what we're going to talk about, and I started thinking about, okay, we can talk about starting, we can talk about, you know, we can just get in and start a new series automatically and really try to understand, but I started feeling this in the beginning. When I was starting youth ministry, on the first week of youth ministry at a new church or first week of youth ministry for new kids, we would always kind of start on like, this is how you start so that way we can end in a good place. But I thought about this, and I thought, in the beginning, God created everything.
Yeah.
Everything that he created for a reason. There was a purpose. He didn't create anything without a purpose. So I started looking at what it is that was created and why it was created. And God created every single thing for a specific reason. And so this morning I wanted to look at the fact that this is the beginning for Lead Church. This is the beginning for this church in this building. There has been other churches, there's been other services, there's been other things in this building. But for us as the church, this is our first service.
Yes.
This is the beginning.
Yes.
And so I want to look at a couple things that I realized about that word beginning in the scripture. And the first thing is that we cannot exist without first being created. You see, that God, we understand that God created everything, and everything existed because he created it. But it wasn't because he just decided one day to just say, oh, well, this is a possibility, maybe we'll do this. No, he had a specific reason why he did things. And so he would look and he'd say, I'm going to create this, but since I'm creating this, this is why it's being created. And so I want you to understand that one thing that I wrote down here is that God is not sitting up in heaven looking and saying, Lead Church has been created, and here's Lead Church, and now all of a sudden, they're just there.
Come on.
See, God didn't build things, and he didn't create things, and he wasn't surprised by those things that he created.
Right.
See, he understood what he was doing, and there was a method to it, to where every time he built something, he would say, that's good.
Yes.
He'd look at it and say, okay, that's good. He didn't say, oh, well, that was a bad mistake. I shouldn't have done that. Because God doesn't make mistakes.
Right.
God doesn't take things and say, oh, that wasn't very good, and throw it away. Because that's what we do.
Right.
We try to build things, and we look at stuff, and we put it into a little container, and we go, okay, that looks good. And then we look at it from another angle, and we go, oh, that's not exactly what I wanted. And what do? We tear it apart. We start all over. You ever seen somebody who is really good at making things and building things? What do? They'll write it out 100 times. And you'll see all these wads of paper over by the trash can when they tried to beat Shaquille O'Neal shooting a free throw.
Right.
That doesn't work very good.
Right.
I've seen Shaq shoot free throws. It's not very good.
Right.
But they try to take it, and that didn't work, and they throw it over the dumpster, and they keep trying, and they keep trying. God didn't have to do that.
Come on.
In one moment, he said, I'm creating this, and snapped his fingers, and it happened. It didn't matter whether or not we liked it. Because God said, this is good. And he said, now all of a sudden, here we have this idea. And he says, I want to create fish to go in the water. I want to create animals to walk on land. I want to create plants and things in the world. And then all of a sudden he says, all those things are good, but I also want to create people. And the reason why he created people was so that way that those people could worship him. And we did that this morning. We worshiped him. But one thing that happened is that we understand that when God created stuff, he didn't create it just because of a reason, just I don't really know why.
Yeah.
So this morning, I want to tell you that we don't exist here at Lee Church for just because Pastor said he wanted to be here. We don't exist here in this building just because somebody else had a building and we're just here.
Right.
We don't exist because Bishop Winter said, hey, I want to put a pastor over there. And he finds a guy who used to be a youth pastor and thought, oh, that'd be a good idea. Let's try to put him in there. We don't exist just because we come home to be with family and we're around family now. That's not why the church exists.
Right.
We exist because God said, we need to have this. And this needs to happen. You see, I wrote this down in my notes. God's not surprised by this morning.
Right.
He's not surprised by what's happening right this second.
That's true.
You see, there comes a point where we have to understand that God's not sitting up in heaven looking down going, you mean that there's a new church in Collinsville? You mean to tell me that there is a guy that used to be a youth pastor that has been all over the place in youth ministry, and now all of a sudden he's going to be a pastor? Like, that's shocking to God this morning. That's not happening. In fact, God's actually looking and he's going, and if I can say it the way I want to say it, there is a church planted in Collinsville today. There is a life-giving church going back into a building that doesn't have anything that now has life. To be the pastor of a church. He's got no clue what he's doing, but we're going to make it happen. Sometimes I feel like I have no clue what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I've called Bishop several times. I'm like, are you sure you got the right guy for this? And he's, you know, Mr. Encouragement over here is always excited, but, you know, God's not surprised by what's happening.
Right.
You see, when God made something, it had to be formed. He had to do it in a specific way. He didn't just say, it's there. He thought out the process. He said, I'm going to put this into motion. This is why this is here. Everything has a reason for existing. If you go and you look and you find things in the world, you can pull up things and say, why does this exist? And you can go back and people will tell you, well, this exists because of this, and this is here because of this. You have to have this in order to have that. You can't have, things don't just show up for no reason. When we started talking about planting the church, we had several people who have looked and been like, oh, that's kind of weird. You guys are going to put a church in over there? Like, you're in the middle of a community. Like, you're in a neighborhood. And I'm like, well, you know that church has been there for a long time.
Yeah.
Like, it's not new. It's not like we're taking just an old house and building a church. Like, it's already there. You know, people started asking us questions. Like, why would you do that? Why would you move back to Illinois? A lot of people are trying to move out of Illinois. You're moving back to Illinois. Like, why are you doing that? But it's because God had a plan.
Amen.
Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, and they're good plans. They're plans to prosper you and not to harm you. They're plans for hope and for future." See, God doesn't make things just to just sit and exist. He has to make things, and he makes them for a reason. But the second part of that is this. When God makes something, he says it's good.
Yes, sir.
Can I tell you this morning that you're not a mistake?
Come on.
Amen.
God did not create you to let you think that you are bad, to make you think that you're a mistake, that you have a flaw. You may see physical flaws with yourself, but God does not see those flaws. So when God looks at something, he says, it's good. God sees good things. God sees the things that we don't see. You remember when David was getting ready to be, have the oil poured over him as becoming the next king. He was out in the field. And he was out in the middle of this field taking care of sheep. He was the youngest one. He was the runt. He was the one that nobody wanted to even have around. He was the guy doing the grunt work. And here, all of a sudden, they come to anoint the new king, and the first guy standing in line, that's got to be him. Look at this guy. He looks great. He's going to be the king. And God says, no, 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 wait. You're looking on outside appearance. I look on the inside.
Yes,
sir. I look on what's on the inside. You see, I see somebody on the inside that's got it all together, that's got it right. He may not be perfect, but I see the inside, I see the heart. You see, when we look at things that are good, we have to understand that it's not by accident that God created those things. When we look at things that are good, we understand that God has planted Lead Church here. And if Lead Church is planted here by me, it's going to fail. If Lead Church is planted here by the state of Illinois, it's going to fail. But if Lead Church is planted here by God, it can't fail. If Lead Church is planted here by God, it can't fall. It can't stumble. You see, there's going to be moments where me as a person, I'm going to stumble. I'm going to say something I probably shouldn't say. I'm going to do something I probably shouldn't do. We're going to go out and do something in the community and probably take too much time trying to do it or take too much resources to do it. But when God does something, he does it right. When we follow his goal, we do it right. So this morning, when we're talking about this, we understand that no matter what we do, we have to realize that we don't exist without God creating us, and that God created us, and he says that this is good. He says that this is good for the way that he wants it to be. But then we look at this. This is probably going to be the fastest message I've ever preached. I did preach a 5-minute message one time for an assignment because I had to. But the last thing on this whole entire thing is this. We exist, but we can't exist without the Word.
Amen, brother.
We cannot exist without the Word. There's something that I've said in youth ministry since I started in youth ministry. And it's funny because every time I say it, my wife just laughs. In youth ministry, we were founded and we basically said we are our thing. We wanted to be three things. We wanted to be able to know that our students had the Word in them. That they knew that they fought with the Word. That they knew that the Word was not just something that they picked up and read that isn't alive and active. Because this is alive and active. This is sharper than any two-edged sword. You see, the thing on this book will give you the answer to the questions that you're trying to answer by going out and looking on Google and trying to find other things. WebMD doesn't tell you anything that what this book can't say. WebMD will tell you all the problems that they think you have.
Come on.
I can cut my toe today, and it's going to fall off tomorrow, according to WebMD. I could have a hurt toe, and they're going to tell me that my brain is all confused. See, this word, it gives you the answers to the questions. This word is God's word that's written out for us to be able to walk and talk and to be able to share with people the good news of the gospel of who Jesus is. But the Bible says this. It says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was God. And the Word was with God. Jesus was the Word. He walked and talked this. He walked and talked everything that the Father told him to do. Everything he said, everything he did, God said, you're going to do this. This is what we're going to do. Everything was created because he created it. But the Word is what we have to hold on to. This morning when we started, I literally grabbed my Bible and I said, okay, God, it's time. We've prepared since April for this building to be open. My son looked at me this morning. He goes, you think we can just push this off another year? I said, maybe. I said, maybe. We might be able to. I said, if nobody shows up, we'll just tell them it was for next year. They got the wrong date. But we're going to be founded on the Word.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
In youth ministry, the one thing we always told our kids is we wanted them to be able to fight with the Word. We wanted them to be able to fight with prayer. We wanted them to be able to fight with worship. Sometimes I have kids who walk in, they look at me and they say, hey, I got this problem and I don't really know how to deal with it. Can you tell me what to do? And the first thing I look at them and be like, well, have you prayed about it? Have you talked to God? Because communicating with God is us praying and communicating. There's also this thing about sitting and waiting and letting God talk back. Too many times in prayer, we stop that. We forget. We forget that all of a sudden, here we start talking, and we're like, okay, God, this is all the things I need you to do. And we run our 15-minute grocery list of things we want, and we say, okay, God, thanks a lot. See ya. And we'll leave.
It's true.
And all of a sudden, God's going, wait, I didn't even get a chance to tell you what I was going to do. I didn't even get to tell you the answer. My son will run into me and say, Dad, can I have this? And run out. I guess I don't get the answer. I guess you don't want my answer. You know, he's getting ready, and Grandma shows up, and she's going to take him to ice cream. Dad, go with Grandma to get ice cream. See you, bye. And I'm like, I want some. I didn't even get to say that. I didn't get to tell him I wanted anything. I was like, okay. See ya. Have a good one. But God wants to be able to communicate with us. He gave us his word, his instruction, but he also gave us that prayer time to be able to say, God, I read the word, and I don't really quite understand what you're trying to tell me. Could you tell me a little bit? Could you talk to me?
That's good.
Could you communicate a little bit with me? Because I can't have that relationship with God that I need to have if I'm not communicating with him.
Yeah.
And that communication is two ways. And then we have worship, and worship is just, it's our way of letting God know how much we appreciate him. Letting God know how much we love him.
Yes.
Yeah, my wife will look at me all the time and she'll tell me, she's like, yeah, we talk. But you haven't bought me flowers lately. Or you haven't given me this lately or given me that. And I'm like, what is the point sometimes? We wonder, what's the point? And then I realize what the point is. It's not just about the communication, the talk. Sometimes she needs to be, I need to express it a little bit more. I've read some people on Facebook the last couple days that they're always talking about, you know, hey, we're having our anniversary or we're having a birthday or something. And they said, I don't say it enough publicly to people, but I do appreciate you or I do love you or whatever. And sometimes God looks and he says, you know what? He's like, we have this relationship, but I need you to do what you're created to do and worship me.
Amen.
Not for what you can ask me for in prayer, Because sometimes we just think, okay, if I pray and I ask God for everything I want, he's going to give it to me. Sometimes we have to worship him and just say, God, thank you for what you're going to do. God, thank you for being who you are.
Yes.
God, thank you for saving me. God, thank you for healing me, healing my family. Because when we start to say those things, then he starts to look and he goes, okay, let's start talking about some of these things that we've been talking about before. Let's start doing these things that we've been doing before. You see, here's the thing. When God said that it was good, he said it was good because it was created through his Son. It was created through the Word. And we're going to be planted in the Word. And we're going to work and do what it is that God's asked for us to do through the Word. See, the Word, if that's what we're based on, the Word will change the community around us.
Yes, sure will.
The Word will have lives be saved in this building.
Amen.
The Word will heal people. The Word will revive people. The world will know who he is by the Word.
Amen. Yes.
The Word brings love and joy and peace and purpose. We have to understand that without the Word, we're nothing.
Amen.
The Bible says that no man comes through the Father but through him, through the Word. It says that he is the way. He is the light. He is the hope for the world. He is the beginning and the end. The Word is Jesus. The Word is the Son. And we need to be grounded on the Word. Grounded in him. I wrote this long paragraph out that I want to read this morning. And I want to put it this way. I want to say this about me, church. I promise you that in time I will get better at speaking. I'm just really nervous this morning. A lot of eyeballs this morning.
You're fine.
But I want you to understand this morning. Bishop, you'll start catching what I'm saying here in a minute. This morning I declare that Lee Church is here in this community to share the love of Jesus to the area and the surrounding communities. Today I declare that Lee Church will follow the Word of God as the verbal inspiration of the Bible. That God existing eternally in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
That Jesus is the only begotten Son of the Father, born of the Virgin Mary, that was sacrificed, crucified, and buried, rose again 3 days later, and is now sitting at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. We know that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but is available through repentance of sin to be forgiven. That through Jesus the Son, we can receive justification, regeneration, sanctification, and have new birth in him. We believe that holiness is God's standard for living.
Yes.
We believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. We believe in water baptism by submersion, and that all who repent shall be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We believe in divine healing as provided by Jesus on the cross by the shedding of his blood. We believe in the washing of saints' feet and the partaking of the Lord's Supper. We believe that he is coming again and we will live with him forever. This morning I want to proclaim that this church, Lee Church, will be a church that is not just a church in the community, but a light on the hill. A city that is not shaken. A place of restoration. A place for love. A place for God to move. We are a church who will follow the Word. And Jesus is the Word. And we will follow him. I'll get you out, get you lunch. You'll be all right. This morning I want you to see something. We don't exist just because a man decided he wanted to put a pastor in his building. We don't exist just because I decided I wanted to move back to Illinois because I thought it would be fun. We exist because God said, and we existed.
Yes.
We exist because He said, you need to do this. We exist because we follow Him. We have a song that we've been listening to the last couple of months. And in this song, one of the things that it says is, if it looks like we've lost our minds, it might look like that. But all we're doing is just following what God says.
Yeah.
If it looks like we're going crazy, it's okay. We're just following God. Because sometimes I believe that when we walk this thing out that God has designed for us to do, I know that sometimes it may look weird and it may look different than what somebody else is doing. But I believe that God is looking at you and saying, when you follow me, you're doing it the way I want you to do it, and it is good. This morning, I want to give you an opportunity. As we close this morning, quick message, but I feel like that there's going to be more to come in the next several weeks. Things are going to be said out of this message that's going to be able to continue to grow. And we're going to be able to continue to grow in everything we do. But this morning, I want to give you an opportunity this morning. If you look at me this morning and you say, Pastor, I don't know who Jesus is. I don't know who this word is that you're talking about. I don't know the joy that you said, or I don't know about the things that He can do. I want to give you an opportunity this morning to just say, I need to know who Jesus is. I need to accept Him this morning. As we start this journey as a church, you can start your journey with God this morning. I want you to understand something. When we say that we're giving you an opportunity to receive Jesus, I'm not giving you an opportunity to be a part of the church. I'm not asking you to be a part of the church of God. I'm not asking you to be a part of anything more than just allowing God to touch you. Allowing God to show you what a relationship with Him looks like. Because there's a big difference between joining a church and having a relationship with God. And that relationship with God is the most important thing. When we get to heaven, the first thing He's going to do is not say, what church were you a part of? He's going to say, did you have a relationship with me? It doesn't matter if you leave this place and you go to another church next week. I know the statistic. I know what it's going to look like. Next week, it's going to look completely different. And I may be preaching to my wife next week. And that's okay. Because I know that we have bound ourselves and we have decided that we're going to plant this church in the Word. But when we leave this place, I don't want anybody to not get the opportunity to accept Jesus, to be part of their life. Every week, I want to be able to say that. I went to a church a couple years ago, and the pastor, he would take up this moment, and he would say, it doesn't matter what the religion is. I'm not asking you to be a part of a religion, and I'm not asking you to be a part of a church. And I thought when he said that, I thought that was really something powerful. Because too many times people think that if they accept Jesus, they have to have a specific religion that they're bound to right away. Jesus just wants your relationship. He wants you to be in a relationship. He wants you to communicate with Him. Read His Word. Talk to Him. Communicate with Him. So this morning, if that's you, if you say, yeah, I need to have a relationship with Jesus. I don't have a relationship with Him, but I need one. If you would say yes this morning, and you just raise your hand and say, that's me. I just want you to pray for me this morning, Pastor. The second is this. If you say, I have a relationship with Jesus, but I need to be strengthened in it. I need it to be better than what it's been. The relationship hasn't been really going very well, but I need it to be better. Would you raise your hand and say, that's me this morning? I need my relationship with him to be better. We're going to pray this morning. And I'm going to ask everybody just to repeat this word after me. Several hands raised this morning. And we're celebrating with you. And we would love to walk with you through that. But this morning, I want you to just say this. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth and you mean what you're saying, that God will come in and he'll save you. And he'll touch you. And he'll be a part of your life. And you guys will be able to have that relationship together. And I'm going to tell you, it's not going to be an easy road every day. Some days you're going to struggle, and some days it's going to be great. But it's like that relationship that we have with each other. The relationship we have with our family member or friend. Some days we don't do very well, but some days we do a lot better than others. But God says, if you will just walk with me and talk with me, that he'll help you. So this morning we're going to pray. I'm going to ask you to repeat this after me. Say,
Dear Jesus,
I know I've messed up. I know I've done things that I shouldn't have done. But I'm asking you this morning to come into my life. Forgive me for the things that I've done. Wipe me clean. Let me follow you. God, I don't care about anything more than this relationship. I need you to change me. I need your help every day. God, thank you for saving me. God, help me to walk out this relationship every day. As in these words we say, Jesus, thank you. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
I'm going to pray this morning. We're going to dismiss. I just want to say thank you for being here this morning. I know it's been a whirlwind. It's been a whirlwind for me. I'll go home and dissect the whole thing later. But I'll say thank you to you because there becomes a moment when you don't really understand what's going to happen next. And I don't know what tomorrow is going to look like. And I don't know what next week's going to look like. But I know that we've opened this building. We've done it what God has asked for us to do. And if we walk on his word and we do what he's asked for us to do, we can't fail. I'm going to pray this morning. We're dismissed. God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for this day that you have made. God, I thank you for these people that have come. They have supported. They have taken time out of their day to be here. God, I pray, God, that you would be with them, God, as they leave this place and they go on the next things that they're going to do, whatever they do next week or the week after. God, we thank you that you are moving in their life. God, I ask that you would continue to touch them. Continue to be with them. God, I ask that if they were to be here next week, God, that you would bring them here next week ready to receive from you. God, I pray, God, that you would use them, God. Give them something to do every day to be able to know who you are. How would you show up in their lives this week and let them see that you have your hand on them. And we thank you for that. We thank you for your blessing to us today. In Jesus' name we pray, everybody said,
Amen.
Thank you for being here. And on the first service, you are dismissed.
Thank you. If you're so